Accession number 12884. Workers at Supermarine Works Southampton, Reel 4.
Developments, piston aircraft were no good, not for war. They were no good. They were obsolete. It wiped them all out.
They incorporated the Spitfall's wing in the attacker.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. It was the same wing. The yeah. same wing was used on the attacker. But that was involvement of the laminar flow wing, which is used on airliners today.
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
same the thin wing. And you notice these big airliners that go over, they got a very small wing area.
Absolutely.
So, and that's because of the involvement of that type of wing. But it was a lovely airplane. It was a beautiful airplane,
well,
wasn't
Spiteful.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spitfall was. It was a lovely looking airplane.
Yeah.
It was even better looking than the Spitfire, wasn't it? It was the last word in a piston aircraft design.
You remember some of the pilots at that stage, like Mike Lithgow and so on?
Yeah,
you
know,
Pickering
was killed, wasn't he? He was getting a ride in a Bren gun carrier, wasn't
That's
he?
Right,
and
yeah.
it turned upside down and chopped his head off.
Flight Lieutenant Pickering?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
Has he been on, test flight or something? They give him a lift around the perimeter.
That's right.
The airfield.
And it overturned.
It just overturned.
I remember going to Eastleigh with him once in that sports car he had. I had to go to Eastleigh, and old Weedy said to me, if he's going up, he'll take you. Just like that Jedi used to speak, wasn't he? He's going, he'll take you.
That's
well, I went up with him, but I said, Dan, if I'm going back.
That's the experience, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not going to go back with him. But I remember that. I've met a large number of the pilots, like poor old Bob Tuck and various things, because I've had a lot to do with the Imperial War Museum since those days, and I've travelled the best part of Europe with them, and my friend wrote quite a number of books and that, and so I came into contact with quite a number of the British and German French aces since those days, you know. But I can always remember it, Isha. I don't know if you can remember this. When old Bob Tuck came down to get an airplane, and he was told, if the black flag is flying on top of the crematorium, you don't rev your engine and you don't take off.
Yeah.
All right, he said. So Bob taxis across with his engine just ticking over as low as he could to get traction. And the old black flag's going up there, and all of a sudden Bob opens his engine 8 flat. Right out, and then takes off, and there was a hell of a row about it. The old parson came up because a funeral was in progress, you see. And I think Bob Tuck, in his book, he writes about that.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember that incident as plain as anything. But there's so many incidents that happened during the war that I don't know if you ever remember the what we used to call the trial. When you stood in the toilet, you could look up over the hills at Chilworth Way, and there used to be a coloured balloon, what they used to call a pilot balloon. And when that one went up, you knew a raid was imminent, because they didn't used to sound the siren to the last minute. It nearly cost us all our lives. And so everybody used to have go to the toilet. You had numbers and you turned to go to the toilet. You looked out to see if the balloon was anywhere. If it was coming up, everybody got ready to run, you see. And and of course one day
the balloon was up. You took more than your 7 minutes.
The balloon was up, and too late. They got us before we got back.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, someone sent me a photograph the other day of the area just beside the Supermarine, wondering how the hell we survived getting through that lot when you see where the buildings are all blown to pieces. Because remember, laying down in the gutter, and the bombs all were going in, and the houses falling down.
Where did you take shelter in the end?
I didn't take shelter.
Oh,
I ran for it.
Oh, we took shelter in in the gas company at Portsmouth Road.
Yeah, well, I ran for it.
A showroom. They had a charter in the back garden.
I ran for it up by the station. Well, you know, it caught it up there, wiped it out, didn't it? But I got away with it. But do you remember Percy Morris, the inspector?
No.
Well, Percy Morris and I, we had an agreement that if anything happened to me, he would see to my wife, and if anything happened to him, I would see to his wife. And he ran with me, and Percy's hair turned white. Mm. He was dark-haired, and his hair turned white.
I remember walking all the way around, over Pear Tree Green, all the way around through Northam, back home, because yeah. The floating bridge wasn't working.
No. You were Ron Haley.
Mm.
Well, Ron Haley was... the bomb knocked me unconscious. It knocked me unconscious, and Ron Haley dragged me across the road into the shelter. And I wonder what the hell happened. I didn't hear anything. Just when I came around, I said, what happened to me then, you know? But,
because there was a heck of a lot of damage in the Woolston area, wasn't there?
It's colossal.
Manor Road was virtually wiped out.
That's right.
Wantcliffe Road
now,
isn't it?
You see the picture I've got? I've got this photograph, and there's all these houses all devastated. And there's a place, the exact spot where I laid down in the road, and I think myself now, how the devil did I get away with it? Because then on the 30 I ran up Sea Road, remember Sea Road, yeah. Don't you? And the pub up there, the pub got a direct hit, and it killed a lot of them in there. And of course they hit number 4 shelter, which was my shelter, and 90 people died. Yeah. And then, remember old Olsen?
Yeah.
Right, remember Olsen? Yeah. He was killed.
Him and Cripps.
And I had the rotten job of going and telling his wife. In fact, she passed away not so very long ago. It was a bad deal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was born, actually, at the old Royal Victoria Hospital at Netley Abbey. My father was serving there as a member of the RAMC. But when I was only 3 months old, he was transferred up to Leeds as a medical instructor. I know I'm digressing a bit, but my mother was a Southampton woman, and my father died in 1922 as a result of the First World War. Therefore, after a while, my mother couldn't settle anymore and wanted to come back to Southampton, where her sisters were, of course. We were fortunate. It was during the years of the Depression, and we all had to give up our jobs and come to Southampton. So when I married, we wanted to get just out of the city, it was a town then, of course, but near enough to still be in contact with relatives, etc. So we settled at Testwood, where I still am, not in the same house. But after the Munich crisis, obviously everybody was exhorted to join some form, it was known as air raid precautions then, of course, in a voluntary capacity, which I did. But immediately on the morning that war was declared, I was immediately told to report full-time at Tottenham Civil Defence Headquarters, which really, when I heard from the old firm, Supermarine, would I go back, barred me from going back, because I was virtually in reserved occupation now, and I had to take over Tottenham Civil Defence Headquarters. It was rather a difficult job, really, because Tottenham was the centre then of the New Forest area for civil defence. But the majority of our voluntary air raid wardens and staff obviously worked in Southampton or Hythe, because there wasn't much employment in Tottenham itself. So when the balloon went up and the air raid warning sounded, I used to sit sometimes and quiver and think, well, if anything goes wrong, who am I going to get to help out? But eventually things did ease around. And although we were on the edge of Southampton, it was very, very hectic. The headquarters then were held in what was an annex room to the old public house that existed, the Traveller's Rest. Remember, Dick?
Yes.
That is
the
demolished
center,
now. It's the Tottenham Health Centre.
Yes.
It was a lovely old building. And it was quite a hectic existence. I hardly ever saw my bed because I was there for 24 hours a day. I used to just dash home in time to put something on an oil heater because we had no gas or electricity after the raids. And back again, where I virtually, say, was on charge all 24 hours a day for until my eldest son was born in 1944. Then, of course, I had to come home and look after him. But I still remained as a volunteer and was often called in during the hectic periods. But I look back now, it was an experience that I wouldn't like to go through again. I don't suppose anybody would. But I can remember, obviously, the various personalities and the comradeship and help that always existed between everybody. And to my mind, looking back over the years, people talk about heroes and heroines of the war. Agreed, they were. But my definition, looking back on my own experience of the war years, of a heroine anyway, was not always the wife of the serving soldier, always, or the women in very upgrade jobs in the importance. I shall always remember, during hectic air raids, walking sometimes, as I had to, the streets of Totten, and looking in the public air raid shelters, when all hell was let loose up above, and you would see a very tired woman with two or three kiddies on her knee, singing songs, telling them stories, their husband serving in the forces. To me, these were the heroines of the war.
I saw that aircraft come down. It happened to be my day off, and my mother lived out of Copythorne. You know Copythorne,
yes,
don't
yes,
you?
Yes.
She had a bungalow out of Copythorne. I remember that aircraft being shot down, and we arrived a few minutes later, and we tried to get the pilot out, but couldn't. He was burned. Mm. Well, I went to Duxford year before last as guest of the RAF and the of Sir Alfred Price in his book The Hardest Day, and I met the wife of that pilot, his wife, and I was introduced to her, and she said that her husband had been killed near Southampton at a place called Totten, and I said, "Well, I witnessed him being killed, and he was buried in Romsey Churchyard."
Was he?
That's right. He was buried in Romsey.
It was Nicholson, wasn't it?
That's right. That's another one. He was a German. This was a German pilot.
I'm getting confused with
the German pilot was shot down. And I met his wife at Duxford year before last. And she said, well, she didn't exactly know where her husband had been buried, because it was at Romsey. So I made some inquiries, and I found out that he'd been dug up and taken to what's the place up? There's a big, big cemetery up in the Midlands. Cannock Chase. And we were able to locate where his grave was. And she went up to see where his grave was. And he showed me pictures of him. So that was unique, wasn't it? That I should actually meet the lady of the. And through that, the Luftwaffe gave me an invitation to, with the new German Air Force, to attend their reunion. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to go because I had to go in hospital. But
there were some humorous episodes too in the war, weren't there? Yeah. Really,
Nicholson. That's right. He was the first VC,
that's
the RAF VC.
Right. He was. Yes.
But a few weeks ago, my friend, Rose Coombs, who died, she was the historian, the head historian for the Imperial War Museum, and I would say the best authority in the world today on the First World War and the Second World War. Her cousin was Frederick Robertson, and he was killed in 1943 by an accident. And he'd earned quite a few medals, and a few weeks ago we presented his medals to this
museum.
And you can see them there, Fred Robertson. And I don't know if they got them on display or not, but we came here.
We haven't got them on this yet.
Well, you were here when I came down. I came down with Rosa's sister.